Today is Thursday, April the 18th, 2024, and welcome to episode 92 of Rural Reliance with Kenny Couple. I'm Julia.
And I'm Aaron.
We're a small homestead family in rural Southwest Virginia that work every single day to be more self-reliant, less dependent on outside sources, merging homestead and frugality.
Yeah, and today, you know, it's that time of year. It's time to talk garden talk.
Yeah. We are all about the garden, and this year, I feel like this year, the homestead's kind of mine.
It honestly is.
I'm kind of running it. This is the first year. It's been more, you know, how I need to get things done. Because before, we sort of shared it.
Mm-hmm.
And now that I'm home full time, it's kind of more like, okay, Julia, this is kind of, we need you to handle this.
Yes.
And it's been working out pretty good so far.
I mean, I have certain things, you know, like broad forking, etc., that are still my responsibility. Yes. Because she ain't gonna be able to broad fork.
No. Although I did see a tool that I could use to broad fork. It's like on a dolly. You pushed it in and you pulled it up and it broad forked. Yep.
Well, that's an interesting one.
It is. It was an Asian tool. The Asians have some of the best gardening tools out there I've ever seen. All manual. They all work really well. And whenever I see them, it just, they're so inspiring.
I would like that one myself.
It's like you put it in the ground, you put your foot on it, you lift it.
Right, just like normal broad fork.
Like you would a broad fork, except the dolly did the work.
Instead of you.
Yep.
So, I might be on the lookout.
We want to talk about today, what our main focus today is going to be on how you can spend less time in your garden overall. So this is really important to us. And some of the things we're going to tell you, a lot of people might disagree with, and that's okay. These tips and tricks that we're going to share work for us.
Yes.
They work really well for us.
And it's something that frees us up for other things on the homestead or side businesses.
Absolutely. I don't have time to spend all this time in the garden. I need to keep my gardening time down to, a couple hours a week. And that's more on the harvesting side versus the actual gardening side. So I try to keep my time in the garden as limited as possible. And here's how we do it. So, number one thing you have to do is you have to define your garden space. We have a couple of different garden spaces on our property. And we're continuously evolving and adding to that. But if you're going to do raised beds, whatever you're going to do, do it. Commit to it. Get it in there. Define your garden space. So we have a mixture. We have raised beds. We have a traditional in-ground garden. We have raised beds outside of our garden area.
And we do vertical.
Yeah, we do vertical. We focus on vertical.
So, I mean, there's many different ways, you know, that you can with us. The reason we went with those raised beds in the areas we did were because
it's on straight on a hill.
It's on a hill. So it would have been too much work to transform into a normal garden.
Yeah, it would have been very, very hard.
We just wanted to expand. We wanted something else to plant and we had no place to plant it.
Absolutely. Or it makes sense because we put the beds around the chicken coop because it made a lot of sense to put them there.
Yep.
It really did. The beds around the house, they just made sense. Now, I will say one thing. It's not on my list, but this is so important. If you have an animal problem and you're trying to get rid of it, go ahead and invest in the fencing.
Don't fool around with all the stuff. Just go ahead and do the fencing.
Do it.
You're going to spend so much time and energy over the next 3 years trying every method. Just go ahead and do the fence. Get it over with.
Trust me.
Yeah.
Trust us. It's so much easier. We had a fence they respected for a year. Then they stopped respecting that fencing barrier after that year. And it was downhill from there.
Yep. And that's what you'll hear a lot of times as well.
It's a bit of a nightmare. Aaron actually heard that the other day from somebody who was working with, who tried all the things we did. I'd cut Aaron's hair and we'd put it in a little bag because they said human hair will stop the deer from coming. No, it doesn't. Irish Spring doesn't work.
Fish kitty and litter doesn't work. Kitty litter doesn't work. None of those things work.
It just got more expensive. It kept getting more and more expensive. So the fencing, one time cost, you're done. Yep. You get it done. It doesn't have to be perfect or beautiful. Ours is most certainly not, but it works.
It works.
It works better than anything else. So, define your garden space, what you want, how you want it to function for you. The next thing that we do is we focus on small space gardening, even though we have a rather large space.
Right, because we want a small space because we want to maximize our growing potential. So we don't want to, you know, for example, plant two rows of corn that might take up a lot of space.
I'd rather have two rows of winter squash.
Exactly.
We actually got asked that question. They're like, during our pantry challenge, they're like, where are the fresh fruit vegetables? And I was like, well, we're still eating squash that we put away. Because it's what we do. Right. We put away all of these foods. And that squash, we actually had, what, it was the end of March? First of April?
It was. We made it to the end of March.
And then I finally had to cook it off.
With winter squash from the fall. So,
ended up with 19 more 2-cup bags.
Yeah.
Something like that. So, quite a bit more. And that's I felt like, was a really good haul for us.
It was.
It was an amazing haul. So I felt really good about that. But that small space gardening maximizes our potential. We really focus on the foods we like to eat. That's another tip. You focus on the foods you want to eat. I understand experimentation, but don't make half of your garden experimentation.
Right. We've tried that before. We've done a lot of experimentation. Maybe you have one experimentation raised bed and you try like two things in it, you know, and switch it out every year if you like it. Put it into the garden space.
That's what we did with the eggplant. We had the eggplant and lettuce, and it worked out well. We just didn't like the eggplant.
We didn't like the eggplant.
We did not like it at all. It was not for us. So, on our garden, in our homestead, our focus is the homestead. It really is. It's where we put all of our effort, all of our energy, and that's where we want to put our focus. Instead of being in the garden all day, weeding, and being in control. Right. So, Hoss and Nancy.
Yes.
Their garden is like what everybody wants their garden to be. You never see a weed. You never see anything. I'm going to tell y'all, that's not us.
Right.
We're going to have weeds.
Yep.
We're going to have stuff in the garden.
We are. I mean, we try to limit as much as possible. We do use a... You know, for a lot of our weeding, we do use a lot of Hoss tool stuff. Mm-hmm. We use the wheel hoe, and...
But a lot of times it's a bucket, a pair of gloves, and you're pulling and going.
Well, yeah, but then that, I don't know what you call the one, the Hoss tool one, where it's like triangle shaped, you know, when it goes underneath the ground that I use all the time.
Oh, that, that one hoe. Yes. It's like a, it almost looks like a shovel, but it's not. And it's got like teeth on it.
Right. That one there is really good.
It is. It, especially if you have...
You don't have to bend over.
If you have... Well, because it's long handled. If you have really long rooted weeds. Like we have these really viney things that you can pull the top of it off, but then you'll keep pulling and pulling. You'll pull 10 feet of weed or something like that. It can really spread on the property. And that one really works really good to cut it out. So we really want to focus on spending as little time in the garden. Now we spend a lot of time on the front end prepping. We really do. We spend a lot of time on the front end, probably a lot more time than other people do, but
it saves us more time throughout.
It does. It really does. So let's talk planning. So planning, we do in-ground sowing for the majority of our squash, and we do transplants for our tomatoes and our peppers and things like that.
We've tried growing not from seed,
by plants
for squash and stuff, and we've found that it doesn't work as well as just planting the seeds in those instances.
And I'm going to show you how our squash plants got so big, because last year was sort of an experiment for me for our summer squashes, and we had never had them grow like that.
No.
Mm-mm. Never. They turned into a jungle. And this year I'm adding another row in the middle, and it's going to be an even bigger jungle. So squash plants we do in a hill. We do not do in a row. Before around here, it's what you saw. Everything was in a row. You just plant in a row. Well, last year we did a hill, And I'm going to tell you, this is where I'm going to get controversy. We don't do one seed per hill. I do like 10 seeds per hill. And I've had great germination right that way. If I do one or two seeds per hill, I might not have any germination through half of my rows. And that's what we've had before. So we would have a few germinate and a few not. Especially some of these seeds, I feel like germination rate, they say is higher, but it seems like it's getting lower.
Well, a good example is the Blue Hubbard. It's only got like a, what is it, 40% germination rate to begin with.
It's terrible. It's terrible.
So, I mean, you have to put down more seeds than normal in hopes of getting those two vines.
And when we're planting, especially when we're doing sowed seeds, hill or not, we tag team. So yep. We both have roles that we do. So I will make the initial furrow, the initial holes. I have Aaron come back behind me, dig the furrow deeper, dig the holes a little deeper. And then I go back in with whatever we're putting in, biochar, rock dust, whatever we decide to put into that hole and the seeds, Aaron comes back and covers.
Yep.
I feel like we've gotten this process down to a point that we just go.
Yeah.
Like, it takes us no time to put seeds in the ground.
We can get seeds out quickly.
So, having a good process, having a team to help you kind of do it, especially where, like, I can have Aaron deep in that hole. It's not as hard on him as it is on me. He's got more muscles than I do. It's just what it is. And I can dig that furrow deeper. I can dig it deeper, but it doesn't take him as long. And then right. I'm working on another project while we're doing it. I'm getting out the seeds. I'm getting everything ready and prepped to go. So we're tag teaming it. We're leaning in towards our strengths, not our weaknesses.
Yeah.
And we're making the most of the effort we have. We have invested in tools, like Aaron mentioned, Haas. This is the thing. We've invested in the tools that are going to make our life easier. So, the wheel hoe is one that we've invested in.
Mm-hmm. And one of the ones that we had there to better our holes, it's like a hand plow that you pull
yep.
behind yourself.
The furrows.
Instead of, you know, hooking it to a mule or a horse, you know, it's got a long handle for you to do it. We've invested in that special type of hoe from Haas. We've tried some of the other specialty attachment type ones from Never Sink Farms. I think if you watch their YouTube, you'll know what I'm talking about. We use some of those. We have tried cedars,
mm-hmm.
but.
It was more clunky.
We go back to hand every time.
Every time.
Every time. So we do have a couple of cedars, but
it's just as easy for me to do by hand. I will say this year, where we're planting turnips and rutabagas with all of our rows, one of the things I'm going to be focusing on is making sure that plow furrow, we have our rows, and then we also have like a mini ditch. Like a mini swell in between them. And that can help hold and catch water and make sure we're getting enough water to those seeds and to those plants so they have that better potential to grow. Because we have it, we can do it. It's not going to cost us anything or any extra effort, and it's easy enough to do.
Yeah.
But we have made those investments. And it's not been like, oh, we spent $10,000 in a year. It was like, let's make this investment now. This investment now. It's been very slow.
Yeah, like a good example is, you know, the Haas wheel hoe. We get one attachment one year. We get another attachment the next.
Still holding out for that rake attachment. I will help you design it. All I ask for is a free one. It would be so handy. So the next thing is weeding. So we just talked about it. But what we do is we only weed till the plants become established. Once they outgrow the size of the weeds around them,
I
will pull some, but
yeah.
Otherwise,
it's just sort of you go on now. We're done with you.
But what I am going to do this year is I do think I'm going to throw a cover crop in between our rows where we walk our pathways. Like clover, something like that, to help feed the ground.
That's a good idea. Just sort of like we was watching from William on mm-hmm. permaculture consultant. That's what he has the clover actually around his, though. You're just going to put it in the...
Well, I'm going to do that, garden. Except for, like, the squash and zucchini, where we're doing that way. I could put it around those. That's true. And just kind of let it really feed the soil back. And then whenever we're ready, you can just till it back into the ground at the end of the year.
Yep. That's a good idea. And where they're nitrogen, like clover's nitrogen, that should help feed from our nitrogen perspective as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Because when we tested our soil, we had nothing.
It's been a few years back. We had nothing at that time. So we've tried to amend it many ways. And we're always
looking for hands-off ways to do it. So this, to me, seems very hands-off. It'll help control a lot of the weeds in the rows. To me, it's a win-win situation, especially and definitely in our pathway when we walk in. That tends to be the thing. Like, that's one of the places it gets the worst. We've put buckets around another area that is really bad up along our fence row.
That's how we're doing our peppers and tomatoes this year, because we had the peppers, if you saw our video, out in our garlic bed afterwards last year, but the deer decided to eat the hot peppers. So we're going to put them in the garden in the buckets, and then the tomatoes, trying those in the buckets there. Plus, we have a little that we'll probably put beside the house still, right?
Yes, yeah. They do so good over there. And we really never had a problem with anything getting into those tomatoes. They just kind of do. We have bigger issues with sweet potatoes. That's the thing they will go for. If there's a scent of a sweet potato, they find a way to get to it. Versus the tomatoes. Mm-hmm. They'll pick a sweet potato vine over potato vine any day. And that's when you have herds of deer. And the herds of deer will demolish. Like, it's gone. Yep. You've got nothing. So we maintain, keep everything together. And that's one of the ways we save a lot of time in the garden. Now, I will say one of the things I want to do is I actually want to reuse those weeds to pull the nitrogen they pull out of the soil back in. And we'll talk about that in just a second. We trellis everywhere we can. So this is where we have the most amount of work in our garden.
It is, because we have to make sure that the fencing is put up first before we plant.
Yes.
And then we have to make sure that when they start growing, that we immediately trellis them up before they go in some direction we don't want them to.
So that's actually an everyday thing. Once they start getting big, it's a walk. It's a walk through the garden. So when Errol would be picking, I would be trellising. And that worked out really well for us. And it took minutes because we were both going to be picking and then trellising, or, you know, so we just sort of divided and conquered. He was picking up squash, I was trellising up the plants, and we were done in no time.
Yeah.
And as long as you kept that constant maintenance up, because squash vines can grow like 10 feet in a day.
It feels like it.
I mean, it was like nothing. You would have nothing, and then all of a sudden you would have 10 feet hanging out the row. Yeah. In 20 different ways, and you're trying to pull it and pull it up. They're so easy to deal with. I mean, they really are. It's not like a hard...
And especially with that little tool that you have.
The tool is amazing. The tape tool. It's like a little tape thing that you click it and you just stick it to the fencing. Works so well.
Yep.
But most of the time, the squashes, even if you don't have that, you weave them through and they'll do their own thing.
Yep.
The biggest issue we had with squashes were some of the heavy ones were too heavy.
Especially like you forget
those blue Hubbards.
Hubbard. I mean, you're just basically putting them up off the ground.
Yeah. Which helped with animals and bugs and all kinds of stuff. So there's a great reason for getting them up off the ground.
Yeah.
But they're heavy. You can have like 10, 15, 20 pound squash hanging off this fence, and one's not such a big deal. Add 5 or 10 and it becomes really heavy.
Right, yeah. And then you're like, oh gosh.
So buckets, things like that, you have them handy so you can grab them and put them in. But I will say that for us, you know, the hardest part's the beginning.
It is.
It really is. The hardest part is the beginning.
Getting all of that up, ready to go, you know, type of thing.
This is our most stressful time in the garden. Mm-hmm. It is getting everything ready. And then after that, I feel like we're just smooth sailing. Yep. So it seems like a lot of work on the front. You're like, well, how does this save me time? Like, but after this, It's really nothing.
You're just going checking.
You're just checking. You're just making sure weeds aren't overtaking. And we had a habit of going like every once a week. This year it'll be me every couple of mornings going through checking for weeds to make sure we maintain. And then just keeping up with that. And as long as you just slowly maintain, you have spent so much less time in the garden. Okay, and here's where we're probably going to get the most hate off of this. We try not to water or fertilize. We don't mulch. We don't do any of these things.
And, you know, we try to let nature take care of itself. Yep. We want our soil to be to the point where it can take care of all that. That's why, you know, we was talking about putting clover in, you know, to help the garden itself, you know, that type of thing. Watering, though, we do have a sprinkler system to water that we can put in play if we hit dry spells. So, I mean, we do have that.
We do. We have it.
That we might run if dry spells maybe once every 3-4 days.
We would try to push a week.
Week. Okay, that's what.
As long as nothing looked dead.
We didn't use it last year because
we didn't need it.
It rained every week.
But so. This year, what we're planning to do for fertilizer is Aaron watched a video by
David the Good.
David the Good on fertilizer, and his was this like swamp fertilizer. We're in a couple of trash cans, put them up there, fill them up, all the weeds.
Yep.
Kudzu, morning glories.
I don't really want to bring a kudzu home just in case. just in case. Just saying, I could see.
Honeysuckle.
Yeah, I could see like dead kudzu like just spreading all of a sudden. But you know, stuff like that is something we're going to try, you know.
It's not going to cost us anything.
And we're working on our compost, we'll be working compost teas, that type of stuff. So we are going to be more natural fertilizer.
Yes. So we fertilized once last year after the initial planting. Mm-hmm. This year our goal is, and this is more not for the plants. This is more for our soul.
Yep.
We're trying to get our soil where we want it to be. This is way less to do with the actual plants we're putting into the ground. What we're trying to do is we're trying to create a healthy environment. So that way, every single year, we're getting better and better and better crops and better and better and better plants. And we're not stripping our soil for anything. Right. So that's why we're looking at all of these different methods, different ways to do things. We're even looking at doing like compost, buckets, and this Asian additive sort of
starts with a B. I can't think of what it was. That's the one we
the homestead realtor
that we heard about. So that's another one we're looking into. I can't think of his wife's something with the soul.
We can't think of it straight off, but we're looking at that as an option. We're just looking for different things, and I'm starting to see this. Everybody's trying to figure out how to heal their soul.
Yep.
I feel like everybody's soul has gotten to the point of, like,
It's not as good.
It's not what it used to be, and, you know, we had such a push towards commercialized farming.
All the fertilizer,
all this stuff was put into the ground, and now we're fighting it because we're trying to get back to this more natural.
Right.
And we're doing whatever we can. Cover crop our pathways, because then we can just shift our rows a little bit, and then that pathway helps. So we're trying everything we can think of to really nourish the soil. Not now, but for future. If it helps us now, great.
Right.
But the real goal here is to nourish for the future.
Yep.
But
have better production every year.
And again, these aren't going to take us any time. It's all super easy to do.
We're not going to spend that much money.
30 some bucks on trash cans, because that's the cheapest big barrel I could find.
You know, unless we find something off Facebook Marketplace before then, and then, you know.
Yep. Aaron's on the lookout. I've already told him what I wanted. But yeah, so what do you think is the best thing that we do to save us time in the garden?
I will say it's probably from the planning perspective, because we do plan it all out beforehand, and we're like, okay, this is where this is going. This is where, like, we're never out there trying to look and figure it out when we're planning. No. We already know how it's going to be set up.
Yes. I would say this is our busiest time. Like, when we look at everything we have to do, this is the time where I feel like the most stress. And I feel it right now because there's just so much going on. And we're trying to clean up before everything starts to come into bloom and bud. And then we have all of these trees and things that have...
Which we haven't even said anything about that yet.
Well, we got a video to do, too.
Well, we'll do a video on it. You know, when we said we thought our apricots got bit and we thought they lost all the fruit. No. No, they did not. And I'm talking hundreds, maybe thousands of apricots right now on them. Plumcots, plums, peaches.
Maybe kiwis.
Maybe kiwis. We've got so much coming right now, and we have been jumping for joy.
I am right now, until it all starts to come in, then I might cry.
Yes.
Because this will be stressful. Yes. But this is why we do this.
Right.
Because I need that time when these things start to ripen. I cannot be spending all my time in the garden.
Yep.
I just cannot. I need my garden to really function without me with minimal effort. So I can't spend more than an hour a day in the garden, and that's mostly for picking. Because that's about how long it took for us. It took about 30, 45 minutes to pick through all the squash because it was, we had so much.
I'm excited.
He is. Well, the squash, we struggled with zucchini and
we
everything.
We did, first few years.
We had struggled so bad. But last year, and he thought I was nuts trying it this way. He had a look on his face. You're doing what? I said, let's just try it, see what happens. And we had a jungle of zucchini and yellow squash. It was amazing.
Yeah, it was.
I mean, bigger than any plants I had ever seen. Mm-hmm. They were massive. And we were getting so much fruit from them because we pull them so early.
We don't let any go big because we want them to keep producing as long as possible.
So that's the biggest maintenance thing we do, mm-hmm. is we're constantly checking and pulling to make sure everything's moving. That we don't do, but otherwise...
Yeah.
Our maintenance is limited, so set your systems in place, keep it minimal as much as you can, and put your hard work at the beginning when you have the time you could put towards it. So you can take your other time to harvest all your crops and put them away. That's where we put our focus.
Yep.
I really feel like it works. Like, again, this is our hardest time, is getting the fencing up, getting everything situated, knowing what type of fencing needs to go with what plants.
Yeah. So that's something... You know, like, I've got to get Proud Forkin to get us ready to plant probably next week.
Yep.
It's when we will be planting. So that means we've got to get all the fencing up, all the fences in. You know, lots of work. Take off work just to...
I asked specifically for him to take off a few days to help me.
Just the garden.
Just the garden. Just to help me get the fencing up and everything. Because then I could plant after... But, I mean, we try not to.
We'll try to get it done then.
Yeah, that's the goal. Especially, like, transplanting, because normally most of my homestead work is in the afternoon. So, planting can't be in the afternoon. It has to be in the evening.
Right.
You never, ever put a trans... You will kill it.
Kill it.
It'll kill it every time. We found that out the hard way.
I will say one of the other things we do that we didn't really mention is we do utilize shade cloths.
We do. That does help too. It helps keep it cooler. That is one of the reasons we don't have to water it as much.
Right. And where we have our garden, there's no shade.
Mm-hmm.
So...
You hear about this more in places like Arizona.
Yeah, I don't remember what percentage we used.
It's high. It's like 40.
I was thinking it was 30 or 40.
It's 40. It's 40%. But it really doesn't take like 40% of the sun off. But it does provide relief. And
it does.
If you are fair skin, it is very nice to get underneath that shade. Or if you burn easy. If you burn easy, having that extra shade helps so much to keep you from burning. Because I will tell you, I'll have Aaron in the sun doing the weeding. And I will be underneath the shade cloth doing the weeding. Because it does. But it does make a difference. We also use it for any animals, anything like that. They get shade cloths where they get the hottest part of the sun, and it helps so much.
And they're cheap.
And they're so cheap. They're replaceable.
Yep.
They're so replaceable.
Well, you got any final thoughts?
No. Well, I just cannot stress how important it is to put your hard work towards the front and your easy work towards the middle and the end, especially if you're the homesteader, the harvester, the preserver. If you do all of it,
yeah,
make sure you're looking at your timetables, because I think a lot of people, especially homesteading mom, we don't look at that, and we fail to see, like, oh my god, I got all this work to do, and something starts to fall. Yep. And I feel like our garden really wasn't as bad of a jungle as it could have been last year.
Definitely not.
It wasn't. We did not do any weeding or anything.
We were bad last year just with everything going on.
But it really wasn't bad.
But we'll making sure we're going to do better this year
It's been much worse before.
It has.
It's been way worse before. So I just can't stress the importance of knowing your timing, especially if you have other things coming in like trees and all these things. That was where we put our energy in first. So now all of our trees are starting to produce. Yep. So we have to plan everything out.
Yep. Yep. I will say mine is just, find ways to extend your garden space in small areas, from vertical to raised beds to, maybe a green stock vertical planter. Try to get as much food production in as you can.
Vertical does not have to be a cattle panel.
It doesn't.
It does not. You can use a 50-foot long fence that you get off of Amazon for $50 or less.
Yeah.
That's okay.
Yep.
It does not have to be a cattle panel. And I know that's like the idea, the dream, everything. Like, that's the thing you're seeing. It's like, you have to have a cattle panel for vertical fencing. You don't. You don't have to have a cattle panel for vertical fencing. No. They're nice, but I can think of a lot of other things I'd rather use that cattle panel for than a fence for my garden.
Well, if you got any final comments, questions, anything you want to hear in a future episode, you can send it over to thecannycouple@yahoo.com. And you can check out our Linktree, which is down below right there, at Linktree/thecannycouple, which has links to all of our other content. And
he's still learning where everything
is. I am. Sorry.
And thank you for joining us on Rural Reliance with the Canny Couple, where we work hard, live simple, and enjoy life. Have a wonderful day.